251 days ago, we started thinking about our physical health like never before. You know, I can remember when the boys and I left to go to Colorado for a spring break ski trip. When we left to go on spring break and to go skiing at Wolf Creek, you know, there was talk about the coronavirus in the news, and we were aware of it and some things like that. And I remember in Colorado, I remember hearing that some of the NBA games had been canceled. And I thought, wow, this is kind of getting serious. And then there was that moment where we were sitting on the ski lift and both of my boys were with me and their phones went off and they said, "Dad, spring break was just extended for another week." And here we are today. For the last 251 days, we have been in some way or another thinking about our physical health. And we've learned some new words, maybe, like coronavirus, COVID-19, pandemic, community spread, droplet transmission, asymptomatic, super spreader, flattening the curve, social distancing, shelter in place order, self-isolation, self-monitoring, quarantine, drive-through testing, personal protective equipment, otherwise known as PPE, ventilators, vaccines, masks. How many of you are tired of those words now? As you know, as we sit here on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, cases are on the rise. Here in our area and around the country, and the CDC is recommending, and I quote, on their website, they say the safest way to celebrate Thanksgiving is to celebrate at home with the people you live with. We are living in some crazy times. Thanksgiving may look different for you. Our family has purchased airline tickets to go to Tulsa for Christmas. Of course, they're recommending that we don't travel during the holidays. I mean, we're just living in crazy times, but for the last 251 days, in many ways, we've been thinking about our physical health. And like maybe all of us, we've been, if you will, watching for those symptoms. You know the list. We've been looking out for fevers and chills, coughs. Just out of curiosity, how many of you, when you cough, do you feel like everybody around you is staring at you like, and you're like, "I don't have COVID, all right?" Kelly shared with me yesterday, yeah, she already knows where this is going. She was getting gas at Kroger, and she was at the pump, and she was hitting in the PIN number or whatever, and she sneezed 3 times, and somebody from on the other side of the pump leaned around. It's just like, "Well, I don't have COVID. It's just allergies." And they said, "God bless you." Shortness of breath, difficulty breathing, fatigue, muscle, body aches, headache, like every day of the year, right? Loss of taste or smell. This would not be a good week to lose your taste or smell. Sore throat, congestion, nausea. I mean, for 251 days, we have been thinking about our physical health, and we've been thinking about these symptoms that might indicate that we have the virus? Well, today, I want us to think about our spiritual health. And I want us to pause in the midst of this pandemic where we are so aware of social distancing and masks and symptoms and contact tracing, all of these kinds of things. I want us to think about our spiritual health. Today, I don't want to identify symptoms of poor spiritual health. Rather, want us to think about signs of good spiritual health. I mean, we know in the midst of this pandemic, we know the symptoms that might point to the virus. But what about as Christians today? Do we know the signs in our own lives that in a positive way might point us to good spiritual health? So how do we really know if we're spiritually healthy? Well, I want to offer to you today that gratitude on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, that gratitude can be a sign of good spiritual health. That as we celebrate Thanksgiving, and as we gather together, maybe it's just with those you live with, maybe you're going to a gathering, maybe there are those coming to your house, whatever that may look like, and as you eat sweet potato casserole and turkey and dressing, green bean casserole, as you eat those things, that this Thanksgiving that you might pause and recognize that gratitude is a sign of good spiritual health. And before we get into Scripture this morning, I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask you to give yourself a rating on a scale of 0 to 10. 0 being I have absolutely no gratitude in my life, to 10, I live every single moment in gratitude and thanksgiving. What number would you give yourself? How many of you gave yourself a 5? The safe, I'm right in the middle. Okay? How many of you said higher than 5? Okay? How many of you said, for me, it's lower than 5 right now? Okay? I want you to think about where you're at. I want you to think about this morning your spiritual health and how gratitude is indeed an indication of how you're doing spiritually. Now, there are other signs of good spiritual health. For example, if you want to be healthy spiritually, you probably should be alive spiritually, right? Of course, you know Austin, if he's coming back from A&M today, so I don't have him right now to lay down on the stage. Ashton is across the street helping with our children's ministry, but you've seen this over and over. Scripture says in Ephesians, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." There was a time in life that we were dead spiritually. But then in verse 5, we are reminded that we've been made alive with Christ even when we were dead. So to have good spiritual health, you first have to be alive. All right? If you've been raised from the dead, if your eyes have been opened to the glory of God, if your hearts are receptive to the things of God, then you have spiritual life. That is a sign, obviously, of good spiritual health. But there are other things that point to good spiritual health. In 1 John is great because 1 John gives us many signs of spiritual health. But in these two verses, we see 4. 1 John 3:23, and this is his command, to believe in the name of the Son, of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. So, a good sign of spiritual health is that you believe in Jesus. Just because you've heard the name Jesus, just because you've been told that God created all things, just because you've been told Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that doesn't mean you believe these truths. But if you believe these things, that is a sign of good spiritual health, as is if you love one another. We are, by the way, by nature, we are selfish. And when our eyes are open to the beauty of God and we believe in him, that should fill our hearts with love for one another. In fact, even as we've studied recently, love for our enemies. So if you have belief in your life and love for others, that is a sign of good spiritual health, as is obedience. We understand that if we have a heart and a desire to obey, now, doesn't mean we obey perfectly, but if there is a desire within you to obey the things of God, that's a sign of good spiritual health, as is the Spirit he gave us. When your eyes were opened and you were raised to new life, God sent his Spirit to dwell within. And if the Holy Spirit is in you, bringing conviction over sin, opening your eyes to the truth of God, guiding you and directing you and leading you in life, then you have the Spirit within you, and that is a sign of good spiritual health. But I want to offer to you today that gratitude and thanksgiving is a sign of spiritual health. If you are a 2 on the scale this morning, then you are not doing as well spiritually as you should. If you are a 7 on the scale, there is still room for you to be more healthy spiritually. So thanksgiving and gratitude are a sign of spiritual health. And by the way, we see gratitude and thanksgiving in Paul's life. We've been studying this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome for a few weeks now. 95 to be exact, but who's counting, right? Okay? But we're studying this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome, and we are looking at Paul's life, we are understanding his heart, we are understanding his mind. And one of the things I want you to know about Paul is that he had gratitude and thanksgiving in his life. He was thankful for the churches. Romans 1:8, he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. Whenever Paul would write a letter to a church, he often began, not every time, but he often began with thanksgiving. When he wrote this letter to the church in Rome, he said, I thank God for you, and I thank God that your faith is being reported all over this world. I'm thankful for you. He also says that about the church in Philippi. He says, I thank my God every single time I remember you. By the way, he goes on in Philippians to say, I pray with joy. Every time I pray with joy because you're in my heart and I have the affection of Jesus Christ for you. Paul loved the church in Philippi and he thanked God for them. Paul's heart was full of gratitude and full of thanksgiving. But he wasn't just thankful for the churches in Rome, in Philippi, in Thessalonica. He was also thankful for the work of God in his own life. Notice 1 Timothy 1:12. Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Paul was thankful. He was thankful that he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He was thankful that those scales were removed from his eyes and he could now see the glory and the beauty of God. And he was thankful that God gave him strength and considered him faithful and called him to be a tool or an instrument to reach the Gentiles. Paul was thankful to be called to ministry, not just to be raised to new life, but he was thankful that he was called to ministry. But he wasn't just thankful about what happened in his life, he was thankful about what's happened in all of our lives. He said, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Paul is saying, thank you, God. Thank you that you have saved every single one of the believers in this room. Thank you, God, that you've blessed us with all of these heavenly blessings in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God. And he's praising God and thanking God for all of our spiritual blessings, not just the ones he's received, but the ones that God has blessed all of us with. And Paul is so grateful and so thankful that he commands us to be thankful. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful. Paul tells us that we should be thankful. He encourages us. He commands us. He calls us to be thankful. And we see that also in Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious when you get a cough or a headache or you're short of breath. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Each and every step of the way, each and every day, each and every moment, don't be anxious, but present your requests to God and do that with a heart of thanksgiving, with a heart of gratitude. So we see in Paul's life this gratitude. We see this thanksgiving, and really, if you were to look at all of his letters, we see it over and over and over and over. These are just a few examples. Paul is thankful for the churches. He is thankful for the work of God, and he calls us to be thankful. But we don't just see gratitude in Paul's life. There should be gratitude in our lives. And I really want you to think about this for a moment this morning. We're about to celebrate Thanksgiving. And maybe you have all these wonderful family traditions, and there are certain dishes you're looking forward to, and maybe as you get together as families, you put a puzzle together, or you play games together, or the men watch football, and the ladies, I don't even know what they do while we're watching football. I just watch football, you know, whatever. You're going to gather for Thanksgiving and you're going to have all these traditions. But I really want you to think today about how gratitude should really be in your life, and it is a measure of how healthy you are spiritually. And I want to share four things with you that I think are really interesting to see how these things are tied with gratitude, how these things are interwoven with a heart of thanksgiving. And the first is this. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, gratitude and thanksgiving should be present. If you've been raised to new life and your eyes have been opened to the things of God, and God has given you His Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is within you, and you are filled with the Spirit, You know, sometimes we think about when we're filled with the Spirit, that means that maybe we should be able to do these miraculous things, and there should be healings and all these things that are kind of miraculous. We should be able to part the Red Sea, and that can happen. But what's interesting is that when we're filled with the Spirit, oftentimes that is associated with gratitude. Notice this verse. Paul says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Paul says, listen, don't get drunk on wine. Don't allow a substance to come into your body and control you and potentially lead you into sin. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And notice this. When we're filled with the Spirit, we speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We sing, make music in our hearts to the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So don't be filled with wine. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is within you, then that should lead to worship. It should lead to praise. It should lead to thanksgiving. And by the way, as Paul said, thanksgiving in everything. When you're filled with the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is so real and present in your life, it doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter the mountain you're climbing. It doesn't matter the burden you're carrying. When the Holy Spirit is filling you, thanksgiving is always present. It's also interesting that not only when we're filled with the Spirit, but also when we're filled with God's Word. You see, as believers, we should be spending time in the Word of God. We should be studying God's Word. We should be meditating on God's truths. We should be memorizing and hiding the Word of God into our hearts. And it's interesting that we also see that when we're filled with the Word, that thanksgiving goes hand in hand with that. Notice what Paul says. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful." Then he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." Paul says, let the word of Christ, let the Word of God dwell in you. Know the Word. Memorize the Word. Hide the Word of God in your heart. Let it dwell in you. And when it does, that should result in singing, worship, praise, and should result with gratitude in your hearts to God. It's beautiful, and it makes so much sense that the more we understand who God is, the more we see all that He has done, the more that His Word dwells in our hearts, the more gratitude we should have. The third thing, we should also see how when we follow His will, that gratitude is interwoven with following His will. We have these aisles, these four aisles, the far outside aisle on the Yopon side, the middle aisle, the other middle aisle, and the aisle on the side of Magnolia. And God says, I want you to take this aisle. This is the path. This is the way. This is my will for you. Not this way, not that way, not this way. That's what the world does. I want you to follow this path. And when we seek to follow God's will and to follow His design, to see how He's made things and what He's called us to do, when we are in His will, there is also gratitude. Notice the Word of God. Be joyful always. Pray continually. And give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. This is God's will that you take this aisle over here, not this one, not this one, and not this one. It is God's will for you to take this aisle, and this is the path, and that path is filled with gratitude and thanksgiving in all circumstances. Is that easy to do? And then finally, it's interesting that we see when we are fighting sin, when we are in battle against sin in our life, we also see gratitude in the midst of this battle. It's really interesting what Paul says here. He says, but among you there must not even be a hint. There must not even be a smidgen. How many of you know what a smidgen is? How many of you are going to use a smidgen this week as you cook? Yeah, a smidgen of this, a smidgen of that. I don't even know what that is, but you understand what I'm saying. That's what Paul's saying. There must not even be a smidgen, a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. This is so interesting. Paul says there shouldn't be any of that, or any of this, or any of that, or any of this, or any of that. In fact, there shouldn't even be a smidgen of any of these things in your life. Instead, there should be thanksgiving. So when we're battling sin, and we're battling these things that Paul said, no, 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 Paul says yes to thanksgiving. There shouldn't be all of these things. Instead, there should be a heart of gratitude and a heart of thanksgiving. It's interesting that when we really stop this morning and we think about our spiritual health, gratitude is so important. Thanksgiving is so important in the life of a believer. And when you're filled with the Spirit, there's gratitude. When you're filled with the Word, there's gratitude. When you're following God, there's gratitude. When you're fighting against sin, there is gratitude. But here's my concern. On this Sunday before Thanksgiving, I am concerned that we are living in a world that is conditioning us to be critical. We are living in a world that is conditioning us, that is molding us and shaping us to be critical, to be negative, to be divisive. I mean, you turn on the TV and you hear a news report and immediately your blood begins to boil and you start rattling things off. You go out into the community and you see someone who thinks differently than you on whatever the issue may be, and you get frustrated, and you're critical. Guys, this is scary. We are being conditioned to be critical, to be negative. And if you were to really be honest and think about your own heart, when you get an email from your boss that says, now you need to do it this way, or now you can't do this, or you purchase airline tickets and you're told you really shouldn't fly back home to see your family, or you're told by the CDC that it's really not wise to go and celebrate Thanksgiving with others, but yet others is where the sweet potato casserole will be. I mean, think about it. We're being conditioned to be negative. Do you know what we need today more than ever? What we need more this Thanksgiving than ever before is we need to cultivate gratitude. So critical that we recognize what is going on around us and what is going on inside of us. Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and the scales fell off his eyes. God radically transformed him from persecuting believers to preaching the gospel. And he went to Rome, he went to Philippi, he went to Thessalonica, and he proclaimed the gospel, and he gave thanks to God for the churches that he got to preach in. He gave thanks to God for all that God had done in his heart and in the hearts of others. He called the churches to be thankful. His life was full of thanksgiving. There wasn't much room to be critical. There wasn't much room to be negative. There wasn't much room because his heart was overflowing with gratitude. How healthy are you today spiritually? As your pastor, I'm not telling you to not worry about all those physical symptoms that may indicate a virus. I'm not saying that. We all need to be diligent to take care of ourselves and those around us. But what's way more important today is our spiritual health. Is your heart full of gratitude and thanksgiving? Don't just go through the motions. Don't just engage in the traditions and put a puzzle together or play this game or watch football together or make your special dish. Don't just go through the motions. Be as concerned about your spiritual health as you are your physical health. Well, Pastor, what can I do? Here's two practical things. What was the first song we sang today? Count your blessings and name them one by one. Have you ever done that? Or do you just sing the song? This week, take some time. Take some time and count your blessings. Literally, name them one by one. Write them down. And say to the Lord, Lord, I want to thank you for my wife. Lord, I want to thank you for my children. Lord, I want to thank you for the church that you've blessed me to pastor. Lord, I want to thank you. 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 Count your blessings. and named them one by one. And then, I want to ask you to do this knowing that we're being conditioned to be negative and critical and grumble and complain, knowing how that is so out there right now and so affecting us. I want to challenge you. In every circumstance of life, no matter what it is, I want to challenge you to look for the blessing. Well, Pastor, you have no idea the pain that I'm experiencing. There's always blessing. Pastor, you have no idea the weight that I'm carrying. There's always blessing. Sometimes it's hard to see. Sometimes when we're so focused on the pain and the suffering, the challenge, the difficulty, it's hard to see the blessing and be thankful for it. You know what Paul said? Paul said to live is Christ, to die is gain. I think in the midst of suffering and difficulty, Paul said, if I live, it's about Christ. If I live, I'm going to continue to preach the gospel, but if I die, it's gain. There's always blessing every moment of every day. How healthy are you today? If you're a two, I pray that you practice and work at becoming a four. If you're a four, I pray that you work and practice being a six. If you're an eight, well, good for you. If you're an eight or a nine and you're like, there's always room to grow. How many of you are thankful for your blessings today? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the beauty of your word. Lord, as we celebrate this Thanksgiving holiday, as we look forward to the traditions this week, as we anticipate, Lord, the good food that we'll eat, the good fellowship that we'll enjoy. Lord, I pray that as your children that we would understand how important our spiritual health is. And Lord, how much gratitude and thanksgiving are a part of being spiritually healthy. Lord, I know there are those this morning that are hurting, that are facing difficulty, mountains that are higher than they can handle, burdens that are heavier than they can carry. Lord, may we not forget our many blessings. May we celebrate all that we have to be thankful for. As you fill us with your Spirit, as you fill us with your Word, as you give us a desire to follow your will and to fight against sin, may there be gratitude each and every step of the way. For it's in your name I pray. Amen.